I think it's also important to point out, particularly for people who, you know, aren't familiar with these agents, that they have to be used in postmenopausal patients. What about strategies in premenopausal patients? One other thing that's being looked at, for example, and there's a, you know, huge international trial, is making women postmenopausal, giving them an LHRH agonist and an AI. What do you think about that strategy?
Well, it makes sense. One of the things I'm slightly concerned about is making women or premenopausal, postmenopausal, and giving them an AI. My impression is a number of those do get quite a few side effects.
More than postmenopausal women?
Yeah. I don't think it's really from the AI. It's the combination of suddenly becoming postmenopausal and then losing all your estrogen. And I think it'd be interesting and important to see how that plays out, because there may be another option, and that's like a drug like Fazodex. If we could get Fazodex to younger women in a high enough dose, I kind of think that might well be effective and might not necessarily have the same side effects as giving Zoladex and an AI.
I guess the thing, though, about premenopausal patients is we know when you make somebody instantly menopausal, because this happens all the time with chemotherapy, that it's a difficult experience.
Absolutely.
We're also seeing, again, even though there are trials out there trying to look at this question, not a small fraction, not only of community-based oncologists, but also researchers who see a premenopausal woman with invasive breast cancer, a lot of positive nodes, maybe HER2 positive, where they're not too concerned about giving tamoxifen, who off study will give ovarian suppression plus an AI. What do you think about that strategy in a higher risk patient?
Again, it sounds sensible because we know the AIs are effective in HER2 positive patients. And in a couple of studies we've done, in our preoperative study, we found that AIs were as effective in the HER2 positive as in the HER2 negative patients at reducing proliferation, and the degree of reduction of proliferation was identical in HER2 positive and HER2 negative. And in the neoadjuvant setting, when we compare response rates and percentage reduction in volume, comparing HER2 positive and HER2 negative, when we treat with an AI, there's no difference in the HER2 positive and HER2 negative group. So it's as though HER2 isn't important in relation to your likelihood of responding to an AI.
Interesting.